What is up, everybody? Welcome to a new Phillies Today, right here on Phillies 24/7 Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is Francisco Rojas, and I have you for today's episode, where unfortunately, Phillies take 2 of 3 from the Miami Marlins. And I, by the way, I hope you all had a wonderful Easter. I hope you enjoyed some time with your family, or whatever, you know, whatever way you could enjoy the weekend and enjoy your Easter. I enjoyed it. I was at the game yesterday. Fortunately, was a loss, but it was still a beautiful day. It was still a good ball game, and I enjoyed it with my mom and my little brother. So that was a unique experience. I don't think I've ever been to a, you know, Phil's game like that, or any type of sporting event on like a holiday like that. Usually we'd spend our holidays, you know, at home with the family, like most people. But this year was a little different. We went to the ball game yesterday, and it was, yes, unfortunately, it sucks the way it ended, but was still a good game, was exciting, down to the wire, all that. So honestly, that's all you can really ask for, you know, on Easter Sunday. Yeah, I mean, of course, you ask for a win, but at the same time, I was still able to enjoy it with my mom and my little brother. But Phils do take 2 of 3 over the weekend. We'll get into everything, game takeaways, series takeaways. We will preview the next 3 games against the New York Mets. That's going to be an interesting series. It'll be 1-2 in the NL East. Mets are in first, Phils are in second. Get to some injury updates. Brandon Marsh, Ranger Suarez, Taiwan Walker. Keep you updated in just a little bit, so stay tuned for that. And then we'll end with a little bit of around MLB and this day in Phillies history. So just the key moments from yesterday's game. Phils Wood gets the offense going in the bottom of the first inning. Bryce Harper would have a 2-run double. Nick Castellanos would also single to right field. That would bring around Bryce Harper. Marlins would get their first run in the top of the second inning on a Javier Sanoja sack fly. He had a huge game, unfortunately. Bottom of the fourth, Phils would get a run on a Rafael Marchand RBI single. Top of the seventh, now this, I guess, would matter in the end, as Bryson Stott would have make a fielding error on a routine ground ball to second. I mean, Bryson Stott, we know how good he is at second base, would unfortunately commit an error and let up a run. And I should have got him out of the inning, but the Marlins would chop the lead down 4-2 Phillies at that point. Top of the eighth, mentioned Javier Sanoja, you know, in that first inning, and also scored that run in the seventh. He hits a 3-run homer to left field off of Orion Kerkering after he comes in to relieve Jesus Luzardo, and it was all tied up. 3-run homer, 5-5 at that point. Then we went to extras. Or excuse me, that was 5-5. And then we, or it was 5-4, excuse me, at that point, because then half an inning later, Cal Stevenson would leg out an infield hit, and Nick Castellanos would score 5-5, tied up, and then we would go to extras where the Marlins would win it. They would get a sack fly from Kyle Stowers, and Javier Sanoja, once again, it's a single to center field. Dane Myers would score 7-5 Marlins, and that is how the game would end, 7-5. The Marlins win, and they salvage the series for themselves. Phils still take 2 of 3, but that's where I want to start with takeaways from the game yesterday. Now, feels like a bit of a missed opportunity. You do still take 2 of 3, but would feel good to sweep a Marlins team, you know, after splitting with the Giants, where you kind of feel indifferent about that series, the way that series shaked out. And back-to-back series losses against the Cardinals, would feel good to absolutely just sweep the Miami Marlins, who are not a good baseball team at all, worst team in this division, even though the standings don't necessarily say that right now, but we'll just wait a couple of months till things, you know, kind of unfold. It just feels like a missed opportunity. I know you barely got by with a win on Saturday, but I know you still take 2 of 3 and it still feels good to win the series, but I don't know. Ryan Kerkering has been good for the most part this year, and I know Kerkering's not going to be perfect, but just feels like an opportunity lost to have swept a bad Marlins team after, you know, the back-to-back series loss the week before, and then splitting with the San Francisco Giants, and then, you know, would have felt good to win 3 out of 3 against a really bad team. But unfortunately, you know, still take 2 of 3, but just feels like a bit of a missed opportunity. That's takeaway number one. Takeaway number two, I mean, Ryan Kerkering blowing the save, giving up that 3-run homer in that 8th inning. The biggest reason why they lost this game. Now we could talk about Stott, you know, that error, and you know that did lead the Marlins into position to where they would end up taking the lead an inning later. But still, even if they hit that homer, they would have tied up the game. And yeah, you could say the Phillies need to do their diamond extras, but I mean, the Phillies offense did score 5 runs in 9 innings. I'm not blaming the offense. Offense got it done. Jesus Luzardo, who I'll get to in a second, did his job, had a really good outing. It's on Ryan Kerkering and that 3-run homer. That's the reason why, that's the main reason, not the reason, but the main reason why they lost this game to the Miami Marlins. And then takeaway number three from the series finale, Jesus Luzardo continuing to have a really good start in a Phillies uniform. His ERA is now down to 2.08 and owns a 30% strikeout percentage through what is that, 4 starts now this year? That is, yeah, it's 5 starts. Excuse me, 5 starts. Owns a 2.08 ERA in 30 and a third innings. And he did give up 8 hits, but obviously really limited that damage. And that, thank goodness that run wasn't charged to, or that Stott error wasn't charged to his ERA, as he is now down to a 2.08 ERA. He had 7 strikeouts in 7 innings. Stuff continues to look really, really good. And Luzardo has been a huge, huge plus to this rotation, especially as Aaron Nola has not been really, has been bad to start the year overall. And so Jesus Luzardo continuing his good start in a Phillies uniform after a really good performance against the Miami Marlins. All right, takeaways on this series. And I know we were all waiting to get to this topic because it's been a big topic for this baseball team. On the bullpen, I'm not ready to hit the panic button on this bullpen, but I am concerned for sure. Jordan Romano has been horrible. And it's a shame too, because it seemed like he was getting it together a little bit prior to this start against Miami, or against his appearance against Miami. He had a really, 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 really up and down beginning his first 5 or 6 outings, you know, against the Nats, Colorado, and LA was really up and down, overall not good. But then against Atlanta, St. Louis, and San Fran, gave you 3 scoreless outings and looked like maybe he was turning a corner a bit, and then just has a horrendous, 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 horrendous appearance against the Marlins on Saturday and almost gave up that game, gave up 6 earned runs. I know he hit 100 on the gun, but and I know people talked about his stuff still looked good. I don't know, man. Results still gave up six runs. So Jordan Romano not having a good start to his Phillies tenure. Carlos Hernandez has not been good. Joe Ross has not been good. Jose Ruiz has really not been good. And especially if Romano is not going to be a good high leverage arm, the Phillies are really going to, I mean, it's going to be like the obvious target at the deadline is getting a bullpen arm. I'm not there yet on hitting the panic button. I am concerned. I know people aren't willing to do it. I'm still willing to give Romano some leash here. Does that mean he needs to be in a high leverage spot? No, but maybe, I don't know, maybe try Tanner Banks. Tanner Banks hasn't been all that bad. I don't know. You try other arms at this point because you can't just put Kirkering, Alvarado, and Strom in at every high leverage spot. I mean, you can't pitch him every single night. Can't do it. So try other stuff. Try Tanner Banks, who hasn't been all that bad. Jose Ruiz has not been, again, half the bullpen has been good or okay, and half the bullpen has not been good. So I'm not ready to hit the panic button on the bullpen just yet. Not there just yet. Takeaway number two from the series, continue to keep hitting Bryson Stott at leadoff. I want to see him consistently in at the leadoff spot. He's been good, and I was against it. And maybe I would be against it in the future, but right now, I'll take it. I'll take Stott at leadoff. I know maybe within the last couple of weeks, I haven't understood Topper going to Stott at leadoff, but it's worked out. It's worked out. He's had a good series against the Fish. So I like Stott at the leadoff right now. Right now, I like Stott at the leadoff. I'm cool with it. Wasn't cool with it at first, but I'm cool with it now. How about Johan Rojas, by the way? Last takeaway is Johan Rojas having, I feel like kind of quietly, had a good series. Friday goes 2-for-4 with a run scored and an RBI. Saturday goes 3-for-5 with a double, RBI. And yesterday was pinch hit 4, but still went 1-for-3. Had a couple strikeouts, but still went 1-for-3. Had a good series. Keep giving Rojas starts. Has been hitting well. I know there were a couple of games there where he was not hitting well, but he's been hitting well. I think keep giving Johan Rojas some starts. He had a good series. Continue. I mean, Marsh is, we'll get to an update on Marsh, but Brandon Marsh is hurt right now. He's on the 10-day IL. Continue to give him starts. Continue to go to him. You want to see what you have from Johan Rojas in year 3? And just continue to go to Johan Rojas. Start him in center field. I expect him to be back there tonight. He's had a good series, and not a big fan of trying to get the bunts down, but I don't know. It's been productive so far. Just look at his overall numbers. It's been productive. So Johan Rojas having a good series, and continue to give him starts. That is my final takeaway from the series. Okay, next series preview. Against the New York Mets, and the Mets are, the record-wise, the best team in the division right now, and I know the division's kind of all over the place as you have, you know, the Mets are in first, Phils are in second, Braves are all the way at the bottom, Marlins are in third right now. So, the Mets are coming into this series 7-3 in their last 10. They just came off of a 4-game sweep over the St. Louis Cardinals. And the Mets, again, are looking like the best team in the division right now. And right now, it's mostly because they're starting pitching. Starting pitching is first in the majors in ERA. Offense has been kind of middle of the pack, more towards the bottom, though. 19th in the majors in runs scored. And their bullpen has been nails, too. It's really been just because of their pitching. The bullpen, third in ERA in the majors. Starting pitching matchups, what we're looking at tonight at 7:10, Tylor McGill versus Aaron Nola. Tomorrow, again, a 7:10 start, Griffin Canning versus Christopher Sanchez. And then Wednesday, it will be a 1:10 afternoon start, David Peterson versus Zach Wheeler. So those are your starting pitching matchups for the three-game series. Players to watch. And I think, in a way, they're both obvious ones. For the Phils, I'm going Aaron Nola. Nola, looking for Nola to have a bounce-back start. We really don't want to see 2021 or 2023 Aaron Nola this year, even with the, you know, how good the rotation is 1 through 5 or 6, depending on when Ranger comes back and how Tywin Walker continues to look. But we look to Aaron Nola to be one of the horses for the postseason down the line, and looking for Nola to have a bounce back start here against the New York Mets. So Aaron Nola, my player to watch for the Phillies. For the New York Mets, and I'll get to this whole ovation thing in a couple of minutes, in around Major League Baseball. But Juan Soto is a player to watch. Obviously, it's the highest paid player in the history of the game, right? Technically. And then had a good series this weekend against St. Louis. Had a bit of a slow start in Juan Soto terms to the season, to the start of his Mets tenure. So Juan Soto is my player to watch. Had a good series against the St. Louis Cardinals. Looked a lot better, and so Juan Soto is my player to watch for the New York Mets. So Nola and Soto, Phils player to watch Nola, Mets player to watch Soto. Injuries and transactions, things to know. So injuries, Brandon Marsh had the right hamstring strain after he tweaked his right leg trying to field that bad bounce in the outfield against San Fran last week. And so Marsh is placed on the 10-day IL, and that was retroactive to April 17th, which is the day after when that injury happened. Still TBD on when to expect Marsh to come back. Ranger Suarez has been dealing with the lower back stiffness. He pitched 4 innings in his second rehab start dating back to the 16th for single-A Clearwater. He threw a bullpen session in Philly on Friday. His next rehab start is scheduled for tomorrow with AAA Lehigh Valley, and he might need at least one more rehab start after that. Tywin Walker, nothing to really... it's really concerning about Tywin Walker. He had the shoulder stiffness, and he was taken out in Saturday's game against Miami after only throwing 56 pitches. But he should be fine as he is scheduled to make his next start. I believe that is against Chicago. I'm not 100% sure on that. Yes, against Chicago. That's his next scheduled start. He should be fine, though, Tywin Walker. Okay, around Major League Baseball. So in the NL East, as far as scores go, in the NL East, the Braves beat the Twins in Atlanta 6-2. And also, the Mets beat the St. Louis Cardinals 7-4. Like I mentioned, the Mets swept the Cardinals this weekend in 4 games. But the Mets 7-4 win at Citi. And then Washington, they were in Colorado playing the Rockies. Washington got a 3-2 close win in the Mile High City, Washington beating the Colorado Rockies 3-2. Rest of Major League Baseball, how about the Reds putting up a 24 spot on the Baltimore Orioles in Camden Yards, 24-2. The Reds beat the Baltimore Orioles. The Pittsburgh Pirates lost 5-4 at home to Cleveland. The White Sox beat the Red Sox at Fenway in Boston, 8-4. The Blue Jays lost to the Seattle Mariners, 8-3, over there in the up there in the Rogers Center in Toronto. The Royals got a 4-3 win over the Tigers in Detroit. I've already mentioned that game. The Yankees shut out the Tampa Bay Rays with Tampa Bay at home. The Milwaukee Brewers, now while not putting up 24 runs like the Reds did over Baltimore, they put up 14 over the Athletics, 14-1 win for the Brew Crew over the Athletics. The Diamondbacks won 3-2 over the Cubs at Wrigley. The Dodgers got a 1-0 victory over Texas. The Rangers were at home. The Rockies and Nationals had a doubleheader, so the Rockies got a 3-1 victory in the second game. So Washington won the first game 3-2. The Rockies won the second game 3-1. And then the Angels won 5-4 over the Giants at home. So the Angels were at home. They got the 5-4 win over the Giants. And then lastly, the Padres with a 3-2 victory over the Houston Astros. That game was in Houston. So Padres with a 3-2 victory over the Astros. Last thing from around Major League Baseball. Now, the Trey Turner standing ovation from a couple of years ago was understandable. Remember when Trey had a bad 3 months? We all remember it. And Trey Turner got a standing ovation from the fans at Citizens Bank Park. But the fact, and that was after 3 months. Juan Soto gets a standing ovation. This was Friday night, right? Over the weekend, Juan Soto gets a standing ovation. After not having, he's had a bad start in Juan Soto terms. But he hasn't had the worst start. If you looked at his numbers, still had an OPS above the league average. Has still been good. And he gets a standing ovation from the Mets fans. Out of everybody, why does Juan Soto need to get a standing ovation? Out of all players, Juan Soto has been clutch in the past for the Nationals and the Yankees, in postseasons. Juan Soto has, out of everybody, why does Juan Soto need a standing ovation? To me, it's Mets fans, their new superstar. They took him away from the Yankees. He's their baby. Oh, we got to give him a standing. What? It's ridiculous. Don't need to be giving Juan Soto a standing ovation. It's ridiculous. It's also something to watch this weekend. Stupid. This weekend. I mean, these next three games. This day in Phillies history. April 21st, 2008, Chase Utley's home run helped the Phillies to a 9-5 win over Colorado. It was Utley's fifth consecutive game with a homer, tying a team record achieved three other times, most recently by Bobby Abreu in 2005. Thank you to Broad and Pattison.com for the info on this day in Phillies history. Also, thank you to Phillies.com and Phillies Nation. .com for the updates on the injuries to Marsh, Suarez, and Taiwan Walker. So thank you. That will do it for me. Another episode of Phillies Today. Stay tuned for everyone else that does a great job on the channel. I will be back on Thursday, but stay tuned for everybody else. That'll do it for me. Talk to you guys soon.